Thank you for listening to a River Life Fellowship podcast. We're a church family in North Carolina with a vision for people to experience the grace of Jesus, be filled with the Father's love, and to release the power of the Holy Spirit. Here's this week's message from Chapel Hill.
Over the past 10 years since we moved here in 2014, I've really just been able to see my mom and my dad give their entire lives to Jesus, and it's been something that, like, at 10 years old, I didn't, like, it was kind of hard for me to comprehend, like, why are we moving away from where all my friends are? Why are we moving away from this beautiful farm that I grew up on and I love? And as many of you know, I was in South Africa on missions for the past 3 months. And that was something that God really showed me the true beauty behind, of giving your entire life to Jesus and really giving me a new perspective on, like, what I've seen my parents do over the past 10 years. And like in Mark 8:35, it says, if you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake and for the sake of the good news, you will save it. And really just seeing my parents live out that example to me is 100% without a doubt the reason I am doing it myself today. And I just really think, like, this sabbatical season, I told them this the other night, the sabbatical season, stepping into their first sabbatical ever in 25 years of doing ministry, is really just a stepping point into church building and stepping out of church planning. And I really think that as a church, we're stepping into a new season of really, we've planted the roots of this church. Now it's time to grow this church into what God has designed it to be. And I'm just, like, overly excited to see what God is going to do. And in South Africa, the last week, we did a little debrief as a team. And one of the questions that we answered in the debrief was, upon looking back on outreach, why did God send you to South Africa? And I wrote down, he sent me here to find him. Find him in my everyday life, find him in my past, find him in the extraordinary, find him in the hardships, and find him in the little things. Being here in South Africa was super special for me because it was the same place my mom went for outreach, and it showed me a glimpse into her heart and my dad's heart behind moving my family to Chapel Hill 10 years ago to pursue his calling on their lives to start a church. I learned how to lean on him when I was at the end of my capacity. I learned how to see his hand in the small things, like how he kept bringing us back to Iris when we thought we'd only be there for a couple of days. He showed me how extraordinary he is and how powerful he is, even more powerful than deaf ears and witch doctors. And most importantly, I fell in love with who he is and have become completely captivated by what he's done. God brought me to South Africa to find him, and when I found him, he transformed me. And I've read that back a couple times since being home, and every single time it just brings back those emotions from South Africa of just completely falling in love with Jesus and falling in love with spending time with him. And give me a second. Just falling in love with, like in Psalm 27, when David is talking about just spending time with the Lord, in Psalm 27:4, he says, the one thing I ask of the Lord, the thing I seek most, to live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, delighting in the Lord's perfections and meditating in his temple. Just that heart piece behind living every single waking moment in the presence of the Lord, delighting in him, delighting in his temple. It was something that God just completely changed my heart on and really fell in love with, because before that it was like, okay, I got to get up, read my Bible this morning. But I really just fell in love with just getting in that secret place with God and God showed me, like, so much in the story of David, because when he wrote that psalm, he was going through a really, really tough time. Like, I go to say, probably most fathers have not gone through something this hard. He had just received word that his son Absalom had died, and so he heard about his son Absalom's death, and the story behind it is crazy. So, just a little backstory: Absalom killed his brother Amon because he raped his sister, and then David just became infuriated with him because he killed his brother. You can't really do that. So then Absalom flees for 3 years and then comes back and starts slowly turning the Israelite people against him. And then ends up overthrowing David for a little bit. And then through a series of events, I won't go into it all right now, but he ends up getting killed by David's army. And it was just like, you can see in Psalm 27, when you read it, like the confliction going on in David's heart of like his army had succeeded in what they were trying to do in taking back the castle and getting back what was stolen from them by Absalom. But he was also so devastated by losing his son. And it was just this really conflicting thing in his heart. And you can see it in Psalm 27. I'll just go ahead and read the whole thing because it's not super long. It says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation, so why should I be afraid? The Lord is my fortress protecting me from danger, so why should I tremble?" And you can just see like that rejoicing in the Lord because he did something for David. He kept him safe from danger. And goes on in verse 2 to say, when evil people come to devour me, when my enemies and foes attack me, they will stumble and fall. Though a mighty army surrounds me, my heart will not be afraid. Even if I am attacked, I will remain confident. And then Psalm 27:4, which I read earlier, "The one thing I ask of the Lord, the thing I seek most, is to live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, delighting in the Lord's perfections and meditating in his temple." And I just think this is so beautiful. This is by far my favorite verse from this chapter because he's going through something that's so hard. He's going through something that is so conflicting. You're celebrating that your army has won, but also you're just absolutely devastated because your son was killed in the process. And just this whole situation being something that is so incredibly heart-wrenching. And the one thing he wants most is to just be with God, just to be in the secret place, just staring at the Lord, meditating in his temple. And I just really, I came across this verse in Hawaii before I had left for outreach. And it was something that God just really worked on my, like, throughout all of outreach. Like, when I'm at my end of my capacity, like, the only thing that will ever suffice is to just get in the presence of the Lord. And moving on to verse 5, "For he will conceal me there when troubles come. He will hide me in his sanctuary. He will place me out of reach on a high rock." When these things are tugging at you, when you're going through the hardest moments of your life, it's a place of sanctuary. It's a place that you can step into at any time and just, you can just rest. And it was, again, something that I learned so much about in South Africa. And man, like, just really learning how to abide and what it means to abide in the presence of God was something that changed my life forever. And it's like, and it's been something that, again, my parents have set that example for me. Like, you've heard my dad tell this story 1,000 times, but I'm going to tell a shortened version of it again. In 2008, my best friend's dad was murdered. And it was something that was extremely hard for our entire community. His name was Matt Stewart. He was the most amazing man you'll ever meet. Like, such an amazing father, such an amazing friend. And he was murdered in the most terrible way. And it was just this thing that was just like a smack in the face, because it came out of nowhere. And my parents, like, they walked through Angel, his wife, my mom walked through it with her. And it was, and you just saw like the entire community lean on each other and lean on God. And now my mom will tell you, like, her and Angel's bond is something that will never be broken, because they walked through this terrible thing with each other and with God. And that's something that you can do with God too. When you walk through these things with God and not running to other things other than God, you will step into a new level of intimacy that you could never know. You will step into a bond with God that can never be broken. When hard things come against you and you choose to step into God, you choose to step into that secret place with him, you step into a relationship, a bond that can never be broken. And me personally, I walk through it with his son. I walk through, I've been friends with his son, Josiah. That's like my best friend. I walked through it like his entire life. He moved onto the farm with us for a year, and I like walked through that with their family. And to this day, like, I consider them like my brothers and sisters. Like, the bond I have with their family is like my own. Like, it's a bond that can never be broken. And it just shows, like, when you go through such trauma with people and you lean on those people, you create this bond that with that person that can never be broken. And it's the same with God. When you lean on him in your troubles, it just, yeah. And it's the same with victories, because you can see in Psalm 27 how David was also rejoicing in God, because he brought this victory to his people. He brought this victory to him, and also rejoicing with God and celebrating with him. Like, my parents, they've been a prime example of that. Of they will sit with me when I'm going through some really hard stuff, but then also they're my biggest supporters. Like, you can see it by my dad, just like, yeah, like, they celebrate with me and everything as well. And it's just like, I don't even think I could fully explain it. Like, you can't fully grasp the beauty behind living in the highs and the lows with God until you experience it for yourself. Because it's something that's so beautiful. It's something that just unlocks a new perspective of God in a new way. And it was also something that Jesus led by example with. In Luke 22:39, he says, it's talking about when Jesus is going up to the Mount of Olives, to the Garden of Gethsemane, right before he's taken away to go be tortured and crucified. You guys have heard the story. Luke 22:39 says, "Then accompanied by the disciples, Jesus left the upstairs room and went as usual to the Mount of Olives." And I want to highlight that "as usual." It wasn't something that God just went there when he was in this. It wasn't something that he did because of his circumstance. He didn't go to the Garden of Gethsemane to get with God because he knew that this hard thing was coming. It was something that he did as usual. It was something that he did in his everyday routine. And in John 18, 1, it says, after these things, Jesus crossed the Kidron Valley with his disciples and entered a grove of olive trees. Judas, the betrayer, knew this place because Jesus had often gone there with his disciples. And so it just shows, like, Judas knew where to find him. Judas wasn't guessing where Jesus would be when he went and betrayed him. He knew where to find Jesus. He was like, oh, I know where he'll be. He'll be with his father. Because that was what Jesus did. He got with his father. It was a usual thing. He knew where to find him. And moving on in Luke 22, it says, there he told them, pray that you will not give into temptation. He walked away about a stone's throw and knelt down and prayed, Father, if you are willing, please take this cup of suffering away from me. Yet I want your will to be done, not mine. And this is another thing that I've learned in just spending every day, every experience with God, is he loves your honesty. Like, even Jesus was able to sit at his feet and be like, okay, this is gonna suck, but if you want me to do this, like, I'll do it. And just really being so honest with him about, like, yeah, I don't really want to do this, but also being so submitted to God that it's not your will, or it's not my will, but yours be done. And then moving on in Luke 22, then an angel from heaven appeared and strengthened him. He prayed more fervently, and he was in such agony of spirit that his sweat fell to the ground like great drops of blood. I don't know about you guys, but I don't think I've ever sweated drops of blood. Like, that's a whole nother level of anxiety. And, like, for me, if I was that anxious, whew. The fact that he ran to his father in the middle of that. The fact that he was in such anxiety that he was literally sweating blood. And the one thing he wanted to do was to get with his father. Yeah. Oh my gosh. Chills. And it's because when you're in the presence of the Lord, it's a place where you can just dwell. It's a place where you can sit and all of your worries go away. It's a place where you can just be honest with him and he will comfort you. But he'll also tell you what it is. And the Lord's presence is referred to as a dwelling place throughout many places in the Bible. And the Hebrew translation of that word dwell is shifty, and it means to sit or remain. The Greek translation is katiko, which means to live, reside, abide. And, we're not called to live a life where we just go to church on Sunday, we raise our hands and sing a little worship song, and then Monday comes along and we're just going on with life. Like, the best thing you can do with Jesus is to dwell in that. You go and you worship. And then you leave and you're like, wow, that was so amazing. And you keep dwelling in it. And you keep going back to it when your life during the week, it gets hard. You're like, it's all right, I got God. And you just walk in that, you live in that, and you just remain. You abide in the fact that you have a Father in heaven. I love that song that we were singing earlier. It was a, what were you singing? It was something about God being our great high priest. And I think I want to do like a series at some time in my life on what these lyrics mean. Like, there's so many songs and I'm like, oh man, if they just knew what they were singing. Yeah. Like, yeah. The high priest in Old Testament times was the person in the village who made all the sacrifices. But his main job was to intercede on behalf of the tribe. He was the only one allowed in the inner courts of the tabernacle. And he would go in there and he would intercede on behalf of the tribe. And now obviously we don't have that. But what we do have is we have a God in heaven. We have Jesus, the Son of God, who is our great high priest. And he is 24/7 interceding on our behalf. And man, when you started seeing that, it was just like, wow. Like he is sitting there every waking moment, just talking to his Father about how amazing we are, interceding on our behalf. And it doesn't, and so I think that's why when we are sitting in the presence of God, we can feel the Father interceding on our behalf and really see how he sees us. Because he's sitting talking to his Father 24/7 about how amazing we are. It says in the Bible that his thoughts outnumber the waves, outnumber the grains of sand. There's a lot of sand. And he's constantly just throwing these thoughts at the Father. Like, he's like, okay, yeah, they messed up, but they're amazing. And he's constantly interceding on our behalf. And back to Psalm 27:4. Let me pull it up. It says in give me a second, hold on. It says in the, like, later on in the verse, delighting in the Lord's perfections. David was someone who delights in the perfections of the Lord. And in another translation, it says the delighting in the beauty of the Lord. And the word beauty literally means delightfulness. So he's delighting in the delightfulness of the Lord. He's delighting in how easy it is to delight in Jesus. And that word delightfulness means the quality of being delightful or affording great pleasure. And I think that's why addiction is such a stronghold in today's generation. And really, like, forever. Like, people just want to find something that's delightful that they can dwell in. And so whenever tough times come, addiction is just an escape. So whenever tough times come, they go to that thing that's delightful. They go to that thing that they know they can dwell in. But me, like, once I found that dwelling place with God, addiction was not even a thing anymore. Once you truly understand the gratitude of what it means to be in the presence of God, and once you truly understand how amazing and delightful it is, all those other things are just, they shy in comparison. And it's how many people have seen the Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, from Narnia? And in that movie, the queen gives what's his name, the kid, Edmund. He gives him Turkish delight, and it's a whole thing. It like lures him in, and then he ends up getting trapped in the queen's dungeon. And I think like those things are like Turkish delight. Like those addictions are like Turkish delight. They lure you in and then they make you a prisoner. But the one thing we can dwell in with Jesus, it brings freedom. And it's just, and that delightfulness just like, man, it was something that I really grasped in South Africa. And yeah. So I just think God really today is calling us into a life where we delight in him, a life where we celebrate with him, a life where we mourn with him, a life where we walk through the mundane. Because life, sometimes it's up, sometimes it's down, but also sometimes it's in the in-between. Sometimes it's just like, yeah, it's all right. But God wants to walk through us, walk through that with us too. He's not just great in the highs and the lows. He's also great in the middle. So I just think God is calling us into that. I think there's really something that we can step into. I think, like, God has so much in store for us as a church that we can step into of really learning what it means to live every single minute with him. Every single minute in his presence. And it's not confined to just this time in the morning when you're spending time with God. It's not just confined to this Sunday morning service. It's every single waking moment of the day in the presence of God.
Thank you for listening to a River Life Fellowship podcast. To get more information, check out riverlifefellowship.com.